Tiffany knew that Lanker blue cheeses were always a bit on the lively side, and sometimes had to be nailed down, but, well, she was highly skilled at cheesemaking, even though she said it herself, and Horace was definitely a champion. The famous blue streaks that gave the variety its wonderful colour were really pretty, although Tiffany wasn't sure they should glow in the dark. She prodded the shadows with the end of the broom. There was a crack, and when she pulled the stick out again, 2 inches were missing from the end. Then there was a ptooey noise, and the missing piece of handle bounced off the wall on the other side of the room. "No more milk for you, then," said Tiffany, straightening up, and she thought, "He came to give me the horse back. The Wintersmith did that. That is quite impressive, when you think about it. I mean, he's got to organise avalanches and gales and come up with new shapes for snowflakes and everything. But he spared a bit of time just to come and give me my necklace back. And he just stood there. And then he just vanished. I mean, vanished even more. She left Horace muttering under the sink and made tea for Miss Treason, who was back at her weaving. Then she quietly went up to her room. Tiffany's diary was 3 inches thick. Anna Grammer, another local Cheney witch and one of her friends, more or less, said that she should really call it her Book of Shadows and write it on vellum using one of the special magical inks sold at Zack Zack Strong-in-the-Arm's Magical Emporium at popular prices. At least, prices that were popular with Zack Zack. Tiffany couldn't afford one. You could only trade witchcraft, you weren't supposed to sell it. Miss Treason didn't mind her selling cheeses, but even so, paper was expensive up here, and the wandering peddlers never had very much to sell. They usually had an ounce or two of green copperas, though, which could make a decent ink if you mixed it with crushed oak galls or green walnut shells. The diary was now as thick as a brick, with extra pages Tiffany had glued in. She'd worked out that she could make it last 2 more years, if she wrote small. On the leather cover she had, with a hot skewer, drawn the words, "Feagles, keep out." It had never worked. They looked upon that sort of thing as an invitation. She wrote parts of the diary in code these days. Reading didn't come naturally to the Chalk Hill Feagles, so surely they'd never get the hang of a code. She looked around carefully, in any case, and unlocked the huge padlock that secured a chain around the book. She turned to today's date, dipped her pen in the ink, and wrote Met T asterisk. Yes, a snowflake would be a good code for the Wintersmith. "He just stood there," she thought, "and he ran away because I screamed." Which was a good thing, obviously. But I wish I hadn't screamed. She opened her hand. The image of the horse was still there, as white as chalk, but there was no pain at all. Tiffany gave a little shiver and pulled herself together. So, she had met the spirit of winter. She was a witch. It was the sort of thing that sometimes happened. He'd politely given her back what was hers, and then he'd gone. There was no call to get soppy about it. There were things to do. Then she wrote, LTR, firm R. She very carefully opened the letter from Roland, which was easy because slug slime isn't much of a glue. With any luck, she could even reuse the envelope. She hunched over the letter so that no one could read it over her shoulder. Finally, she said, "Miss Treason, will you get out of my face, please? I need to use my eyeballs privately." There was a pause, and then a mutter from downstairs, and the tickling behind her eyes went away. It was always good to get a letter from Roland. Yes, they were often about the sheep and other things of the chalk, and sometimes there'd be a dried flower inside, a harebell or a cowslip. Granny Aching wouldn't have approved of that. She always said that if the hills had wanted people to pick the flowers, they would have grown more of them. The letters always made her homesick. One day Miss Treason had said, "This young man who writes to you, is he your beau?" And Tiffany had changed the subject until she had time to look up the word in the dictionary, and then more time to stop blushing. Roland was... Well, the thing about Roland was... The main thing about... Well, the point was... He was there. Okay. When she'd first really met him, he had been a rather useless, rather stupid lump, but what could you expect? He'd been the prisoner of the Queen of the Elves for a year to start with, fat as butter and half crazy on sugar and despair. Besides, he'd been brought up by a couple of haughty aunts, his father, the Baron, being mostly more interested in horses and dogs. He'd more and less changed since then. More thoughtful, less rowdy. More serious, less stupid. He'd also had to wear glasses, the first ever seen on the chalk. And he had a library, more than 100 books. Actually, it belonged to the castle, but no one else seemed interested in it. Some of the books were huge and ancient, with wooden covers and huge black letters, and coloured pictures of strange animals and far-off places. There was Waspmeyer's Book of Unusual Days, Crumbery's Why Things Are Not Otherwise, and all but one volume of the ominous encyclopedia. Roland had been astonished to find that she could read foreign words, and she'd been careful not to tell him it was all done with the help of what remained of Dr. Bustle. The fact was, who else had they got? Roland couldn't have friends among the village kids, what with him being the son of the Baron and everything. But Tiffany had the pointy hat now, and that counted for something. The people of the Chalk didn't like witches much, but she was Granny Aching's granddaughter, right? No telling what she'd learned from the old girl up at the shepherding hut. And they do say she showed those witches up in the mountains what witching's all about, eh? Remember the lambing last year? She pretty near brought the dead lambs back to life just by looking at them. And she's naking, and they've got these ills in their bones. She's all right. She's ours, see? And that was fine, except that she didn't have any old friends anymore. Kids back home who'd been friendly were now respectful because of the hat. There was a kind of wall, as if she'd grown up and they hadn't. What could they talk about? She'd been to places they couldn't even imagine. Most of them hadn't even been to Two Shirts, which was only half a day away. And this didn't worry them at all. They were going to do the jobs their fathers did, or raise children like their mothers did. And that was fine, Tiffany added hurriedly to herself. But they hadn't decided. It was just happening to them, and they didn't notice. It was the same up in the mountains. The only people of her own age she could actually talk to were other witches in training like Anna Grammer and the rest of the girls. It was useless trying to have a real conversation with people in the villages, especially the boys. They just looked down and mumbled and shuffled their feet, like people at home when they had to talk to the Baron. Actually, Roland did that too, and he went red every time she looked at him. Whenever she visited the castle or walked on the hills with him, the air was full of complicated silences, just like it had been with the Wintersmith. She read the letter carefully, trying to ignore the grubby Fiegel fingerprints all over it. He'd been kind enough to include several spare sheets of paper. She smoothed one out very carefully, stared at the wall for a while, and then began to write. Down in the scullery, a room off a kitchen for washing pans and other wet and messy chores, although Miss Treason had skulls, she did not keep them in the scullery. It would have been quite amusing, though, if she did. Down in the scullery, Horace the Cheese had come out from behind the slop bucket. Now he was in front of the back door. If a cheese ever looked thoughtful, Horace looked thoughtful now.